Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
And praise God. Let's get into the Word of God today. I don't know about you, I am excited. I am ready. I'm ready to step out and step into everything now that God has got for us. I've got to tell you, God has got so much more. That which we've seen to this point in time, it is only the beginning. But God has got so much more. I'm a believer. The things that I've believed in the beginning are the things that I'm believing now. And the things that I'm believing now are going to launch me into the glorious future that God has got for me and God has got for you. So enjoy is everywhere. Let's go. Here we go. 2 Corinthians, reading from chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. Everyone say yes. That's it. Go now. Yes. Everyone say yes. Yes, that's right. It has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. I don't know about you, I could get excited right about there. They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What do we say? We say amen, praise God. It's spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The thing I love most about God's word and the thing I love most about the prophetic is simply this. It takes you to a better place in him. That's right, friends, wherever you find yourself today, understand God wants to take you to a better place. God wants you to step out and step over and into the fullness of the promises of God. For the promises of God are yes and amen. He, being Jesus, has always been yes. There is no maybe. There is no possibly. There is no 50-50 or phone a friend in Jesus. No, not at all. He has always been yes. The promises of God that he has spoken over you and over us together, they are yes and amen to all of us that are in Christ Jesus. He, being Jesus, has anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit of the good things that are to come in him. And what is to come? Let me say this to you today. What is to come? Enjoy is everywhere. I want you to get this in your spirit and your heart today. What is to come is greater than what has passed. That's right. What we're about to step into is better than anything that has ever been in the past. This is what Haggai chapter 2 verse 9 says, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken. Praise God. Who has spoken? The Lord Almighty himself has spoken. So the word of God, the Bible, the prophetic, while they might be bringing peace and comfort to all of us in our momentary realities, they should also always bring faith, hope, and expectation for the future. Friends, I want to encourage you today, you should be expecting a glorious future. You should be hoping a glorious future. And you say, well, why would we be expecting and hoping? Are you unaware of what's going on around us? No, I am very aware of what has gone on and what is going on around us. But this one thing I know, the word of God is for every season. And the word of God is for today and will launch me into tomorrow. The word of God will ring true. And if we will lean into the word of God, it will stir something in us. It will stir a faith in us. It will stir an expectation in us. It will stir a hope in us, not just for today, but for tomorrow also. Now, as I've read Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, I'm sure most of you, as you've considered it, would have been thinking about the temple and the church. And so I can understand why you would think about that, because the reality is we are in Vision Month. I am believing for great things for Enjoy Church. I can see a glorious time ahead. I'm believing for great things ahead. But friends, as we go here today, I really want to encourage you to just pause for a moment, to take a Selah moment. You know, when you're reading the Psalms and it says Selah, what does that mean? It just means like, let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment to consider this scripture in the context of your own life. And it's like, yes, we're believing for the church, but pull back for a minute. Consider this scripture in the context now of your own life. The future glory of this temple, praise God, will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, you've got our attention now. What are you trying to say to us today? Could it actually be that the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life? Could it be for you, my brother? Could it be for you, my sister? Could it be for you, my friends and my family? Could it be for you that the rest of your life will actually be the best of your life? Friends, I want to encourage you today that this is not just a possibility, but in Christ, this is a reality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Now, I know what's happening there because I've read this verse in the context of you and not just a greater church. I can sense faith arising. I can see faith arising. I'm believing all over in Joy Church. In every location, every family that's represented, every individual, every couple, all of you, I can just sense now, faith is beginning to arise because you're understanding God just doesn't have a glorious plan for his church, but God has a glorious plan for you. God has a glorious plan for your marriage. God has a glorious plan for your family and your business and your ministry and your calling, whatever that may be. God has got so much for you. Where there are ruins, faith is arising. Where there is hopelessness, hope is coming. Where there is darkness and lies, truth and the light of God is beginning to pierce through that the glory might be revealed. Friends, God wants to reveal his glory in you. God wants to reveal his glory in you, in all that you are, in all that you are. God wants to reveal his glory that he might be glorified as a result. Now, over the past few weeks, you're probably wondering about the imagery behind me here. The reality is over the past few weeks, I've been watching some of the movies about particular battles in World War II. And it seemed to be that as I was watching movie after movie, there seemed to be a common theme. And the common theme was simply this. The movies that were historically based, they were based around battles, they were based around fights, they were based around conflicts that were all about bridges. That's right, bridges. And you say, why bridges? It was interesting as I watched the movie, and it just seemed to be a reoccurring theme that men, good men, brave men, would lay down their lives for a bridge. And it's not necessarily because they loved bridges. It's like, I appreciate a bridge as much as anybody, but that's not what it was about. These men, these brave heroes, they would lay down their lives for the sake of a bridge because they understood the power of the bridge. They understood what the bridge represented. Whoever had authority over the bridge could determine who could and couldn't access and possess territory on the other side of the bridge. In the Bible, we see throughout all of Scripture, there are bridges and types thereof everywhere throughout the whole Scripture. When Israel was fleeing Egypt, there they were, Moses and the children of Israel. They're coming out, they're fleeing to go into the promised land. They got a dream, they got a desire, they're heading for the promised land. They're being pursued by the enemy. The enemy was all around. And they're being pursued, they come to the Red Sea. And in that moment, you know what happens. Moses reaches up his staff, and at that moment, the east wind begins to blow, and the sea parts. The children of Israel walk as the were through on dry ground. Out of nowhere, God created the bridge for them to walk from this space into this space, from this territory into this territory. When Joshua is about to cross over into the promised land, we know that the journey progresses, and now here we have Joshua and this generation about to step now into the promised land. We see that they come to the Jordan. It was flooded. It was that time of year. It was harvest time, and the floods would come. The snow would begin to melt. The rivers would flood, as like it is in a lot of parts of the world. Here we have Joshua and the children of Israel. They come to the Jordan. And it says here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Church, Can you believe this? Can you believe this for you and your life? Can you believe this for you and all that is near and dear to you? Tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Therefore, can I encourage you today, consecrate yourself and prepare yourself, because where you find yourself today is not where you're going to be tomorrow. God is going to do something supernatural. God is wanting to do amazing things for you, in you, through you. God wants to take you from one space into another space, from one land into another land, from this territory into your own territory. God wants to do amazing things. In Joshua chapter 3, reading from verse 15, it says, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zerathan. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground." Once again, what does God do? He creates a bridge from here to there, from here to there, from this territory to the promised territory, from this territory to all the promises of God. He creates a bridge of dry ground that his people might cross over. Get ready, enjoyers. We're about to cross over. We're about to step out. We're about to step into the goodness of God, the glory of God, the promises of God. I can see it. I can feel it. I can sense it. And I hope you can too. Now, the priests of the Old Testament are a type of the born-agains of the New Testament. That's how it works. And so now, you and I, we don't carry around on our shoulders the Ark of the Covenant, which the presence of God would abide in. No. We don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because the Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God dwelled. That was the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. But now we are in Christ, and his presence, it doesn't dwell in a box anymore. But his presence doesn't dwell in the ark anymore. His presence dwells in us. His presence dwells in you. God didn't want to do it like this anymore. He's like, "I'm too far from my people. I want to dwell within my people. My people are my people, and I want to fill them with my spirit." And now God fills us with his spirit that everywhere we step, he would go. Friends, can I encourage you today? You are a carrier now of revival. You are a carrier of the light of God. You are a carrier of the glory of God. Everywhere you step, everywhere you step into, everywhere you go, you are taking the presence of God. Therefore, it's so important that all of us, as ambassadors of Christ, represent him and represent him well, because I'm stepping and I'm stepping into the fullness of God everywhere I go, everywhere I go. It's like, "Lord, lead us on. Be a light, be a guide, be a lamp, Lord God, that we might step into everything that you have got for us." And in a time when there is now a flood around us, just like there was in Joshua's day, it was a natural flood. We have a different sort of flood, but nevertheless, it is the same. There is a flood. There is a flood of fear. There is a flood of oppression. There is a flood of doubt, of despair, of trouble. God's calling us to step out into the flood by faith. That's right, by faith. How do we now move forward? Friends, I want to encourage you now, get ready to step out and into the flood by faith. Because as you step out into the flood by faith, you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, that flood is going to begin to back up now. It's going to begin to withdraw. For as you step into the flood by faith, God is going to cause the flood to withdraw. As in, I promise you this, as in, yes, there is despair. Yes, there is trouble. Yes, there is all this stuff is all around us. There's no doubt about that. But we are a people of God. We carry his presence. And so what do? We step up and we step out and we step into the flood by faith, in the knowledge that as we do, God is going to cause the flood to withdraw, causing you, my brother, you, my sister, to be found standing on dry ground now. You're going to be found on dry ground, that you might cross over into the glorious promised land, into the glorious promises of God that God has got for you and God has got for yours. But here's the thing, and it's so important. Brothers and sisters, it's so important. You understand this, because if you miss it, you'll miss it. My life is not my own. My life has been purchased at a price. Jesus gave his life that I might be now in him. But as I stand in him, my responsibility is not just to myself. No. My responsibility is to my wife, is to my children, to my grandchild. My responsibility is to you. So therefore, when I'm thinking about will I or won't I step, I'm actually going to think this is not just going to impact me, but the generations to come after me. Imagine if Joshua came to the waters and said, it's too hard. It's too hard. And it's like, I can see the land. I can see it. It's that close. But no, we're going to camp here and we're going to stay here. I know they were there for 3 days, but it's like, imagine if they said, no, they said, we're not going to go any further. What would have happened to the generations to come? They would have been stuck in a land that was way short of the promises of God. But God wants you and I to be bold and courageous. Remember what he said. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The third time he says it like this. Be strong and very courageous. All right. So you're getting it. So what are we going to do now? We're going to step up and we're going to step in. Here's the thing though. As the flood begins to withdraw, as the flood begins to pull back, as hope begins to rise, as joy begins to rise, as expectation begins to rise within us, I want to encourage you, as you begin to step out and see a bridge into your future, this bridge won't just be a bridge of faith for you. As you step in faith and you see what God does, this is not just going to be for you, but it's going to be for others also. It's going to be for your family. It's going to be for your friends. Friends, I want to encourage you. This is the time that men and women of God everywhere need to rise up in faith and live a life of faith. Friends, I want to encourage you, live a life of faith, because as you step by faith, I promise you, the flood is going to begin to withdraw, and then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself on dry ground, and you're going to be able to usher in your spouse, usher in your children, grandchildren, family, friends. It's like, come on, everybody, let's go to the other side. The promises of God are yes and amen for all of us that are in Christ Jesus. So my faith is becoming a bridge that I and others might cross over into everything that God has got for us, that we might go from death to life, that we might go from the grave to glory, that we might go from despair to jubilation, that we might go from, as it were, a prison that just wants to consume me to the promises of God that want to empower me. Friends, it's time for us to rise up and step out in faith and live the life that God has got for us. So in the words of Joshua himself, Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think I'm saying that for Georgie and I. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I also think I'm saying it for enjoyers everywhere. As for me and this house, we will serve the Lord. And we all know there is only one way that we can serve the Lord that is pleasing to God, and that is by the way of faith. In fact, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Earnestly seek him. We're not playing games here. We're not mucking around here. Lord, we seek your face. We're pressing into your presence, Lord. But Lord, we do so in the knowledge that as we seek you, we will find you. And Lord, we understand, Lord God, you are going to reward us if we will rise up in faith and step out and begin to step into what you've promised us, Lord. We are going to see it. And so my faith is now not only becoming a bridge of salvation to me, leading me into the promises of God, but now this bridge of faith, it's allowing me to help others access all the promises of God also. We're crossing over. We're stepping in. But how many of you know this as well as I know this. The reality is, my faith is only one of the bridges. It's like going back to World War II, so many battles were about bridges. And I think, you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to blow up all the bridges. He doesn't want you to access the promises of God. Our faith is one bridge, and it's a big bridge by which we access the promises of God. But there's other bridges as well. How many of you know your words, or should I say my words will either be a bridge that will lead myself and others into inheriting all the promises of God, or my words are going to become a dead end that leads myself and others to a place of despair. I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to dwell in that place. I want my words to be life. I want my words to bring faith. I want my words to bring joy. I want my words to bring the presence of God into every lounge room, into every family room, to wherever any enjoyer would be. In fact, any believer would be today. I just want my words to be a blessing. As in, at the moment, anyone that's been around me would know that I've been talking about putting a centurion over my mouth, because you know my mouth can bring joy, but my mouth can bring pain as well. My mouth can bring life, but my mouth can bring death. And so I've got to be really careful. At the moment, I'm like, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to guard my mouth, Lord God. Guard my words, Lord God. I don't want to, Lord, start bushfires by this little sparky thing called my tongue, Lord God. I want to keep, Lord God, my mouth reserved for you to bring glory and honor to you. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Friends, I want to encourage you that, you know, when it comes to loving your mouth, loving your tongue, loving your words, it's going to go one of two ways here. It's like we can bring life or we can bring death. We can bring joy or we can bring sadness and sorrow. We can bring whatever we're going to bring. But I want to encourage you, just understand this, that your words are a bridge into your future. Speak life. There is life in your mouth. There is life in your words. And you got to keep speaking life. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here we go. Another bridge. So one bridge is faith. Another bridge is my words. Another bridge is my example. My example. Your example is going to be an example for others to follow, leading to life or you know what I'm saying? All right. But we want to be an example that leads to life. 1 Timothy, here we go. Let's dive straight in. 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, you might say, Shane, it's good that you would bring that verse to us, but that verse is to a pastor. And I would say, you're absolutely right. No doubt about it. You are right. That verse is to a pastor. But would we really deny that this scripture, it isn't just valid for pastors, but this scripture is valid for parents? Amen. Praise God for all of our parents that have gone through a very difficult season. We love you. We appreciate you. We celebrate you today. This scripture is for parents. This scripture is for teachers. Praise God for all of our teachers in the life of the church that work both that within the secular system, within the schooling system, but also within the life of the church. Would we deny that this scripture is helpful for leaders or business owners or simply those of us that have got friends that we want to see come into the kingdom of God? Of course, we're not going to deny that. that. Our example is a bridge, and we want to be a bridge that others might see, that others might look, that others might see us now standing on dry ground with the flood of hopelessness and despair and brokenness and trouble banking up. We want to create here a bridge that leads to the promised land. So we're going to stand in the middle here. We're going to stand in the gap. Remember the scripture? The Lord looked for someone to stand in the gap. Where are the men and women that will stand in the gap? Where are the men and women of this generation that will be a bridge, that the lost might come home, that those that are broken might be restored, that those that are without hope might find hope again? Where are they? You know where I think they are? I think they're in the church. The church. We are the church, and we are called in this generation to be the hope of the world, to be the light of the world, to stand in the gap, that the flood might withdraw, that the flood might pull back, and others might come through us and into the promises of God. Praise God. Now, don't get me wrong here. I know and you know we are not Jesus. We're not trying to be Jesus here, but what we are trying to do is through our faith, through our words, through our example. Now, we can go on and on all day and talk about other bridges. We want to be in this generation men and women of God who are standing in the gap, who are showing the way that people might come to the knowledge of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, hear me today. Your faith is a bridge for yourself, yes, absolutely, but for others also to cross over, into the promises of God. Your words are a bridge for yourself and others to cross over into the promises of God. Your example is a bridge for yourself and for others to cross over into the promises of God. So let's be sure and let's be certain to rise up. You know, the Israelites, they were camped for a season. They were camped for a period of time. Just days, 3 days, I think it was, they camped there. And then they rose up, they stepped out in faith. Let's be those now that are rising up and stepping out in faith. Let's allow our faith to be seen. Let's allow our words to point in the direction we're going. Let's allow our example to be an example for all to follow, for believers everywhere to follow. So let's be sure, let's be certain, let's rise up and get ready to cross over into everything now that God has got for us. For surely, says the Lord, the glory of the latter temple will be more glorious than the former temple, in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. Enjoy us everywhere. You know, I just want to pray for you right now. To be honest, I wish I could just jump through the TV and lay hands on you wherever you may find yourself. You know, obviously in this season, it's been way, way difficult for us all to come together, but we have still been coming together and we've been praying for the sick and praying for all the different scenarios and situations that we've been asked to pray for and pray into it. We're going to continue to do that. But today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that a gift of faith would come upon you right now. I want to pray that a gift of faith would come upon you and you would sense that this is a new day, that this is a day to step out in faith and into the flood. And I just believe that as you by faith begin to stir yourself up now, remember what was deposited in you through the laying on of hands. Remember the gifts that God has given you. Remember the purpose that God has called you to. Remember the calling of God upon your life. You won't fulfill that on this side of the Jordan. No, you've got to rise up now and step out in faith and see the flood that is around us withdraw, that you might move forward into what God has got for you. So brothers and sisters, I want to pray for you all. And then I want to pray for people that may be watching in online today and you have not got a certainty in your spirit. You have not got an assurance in your spirit that you belong to Jesus. But friends, today, I want to pray for you. And at the end of our prayer in just a minute for you, specifically regarding yourself, salvation, I promise you the Spirit of God is going to come upon you wherever you find yourself. But everywhere, I want to speak now. I want to speak a spirit of faith. I want to speak a gift of faith upon enjoyers everywhere, upon brothers and sisters that are leaning in. Maybe you're not part of our church, but you're leaning in today and it's like, man, you've been speaking to me. I'm not speaking to you. God is speaking to you because He has got a plan and a purpose for you. And that which the enemy has tried to cut off, the Lord is saying, it's over now. It's over now. Devil, you've been served. Get the heck out of here. We are coming through on dry ground into the promises of God. So enjoy us everywhere. Get ready to receive. If you're on a couch somewhere, if you're in your kitchen, wherever you may be today, just get ready to receive. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every enjoyer, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for my brothers and I pray for my sisters. I pray for the church around the world, Lord, that, Lord, our faith would arise like never before. Yes, it has been, Lord God. It has been put to the torch. It has been put into the fire. It has gone into the kiln. But Lord, surely, Lord God, we're coming out and our faith has been refined, Lord God, for a season such as this, that we might step into the flood. Lord, that all these things that have been attacking humanity might pull back, Lord God, that we might enter into all the promises of God. So this day, I speak a gift of faith, Lord God. Let faith arise, Lord God, in all of our brothers and sisters. Let faith arise, Lord God, in our children today. Let faith arise in our families today. Lord, into all of our business people. Let faith arise into all those that are looking to take ground wherever it is, whatever you've spoken to them, Lord God, I pray now, faith arise, faith arise, faith arise in Jesus' name. Lord, we understand that our faith will be a bridge for us and for those that we're leading. Our words, Lord God, will be a bridge, Lord God, for ourselves and those that we are taking on the journey, Lord God. We understand, Lord God, that our example, Lord, we understand we are being watched by so many, Lord God. Lord, as a pastor, I'm being watched. Our business owners are being watched. Our leaders are being watched. Our parents are being watched. We're all being watched, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, we would not be found wanting, but we would be an example to believers everywhere as to how we should live a life of faith, how we should speak, Lord, words of faith, how we should be an example to this generation that they might possess all the promises of God. And everybody said together, amen and amen. Come on, enjoyers.